Our Bible lesson today is entitled Joy Robbers, Joy Robbers. Let's begin together in Psalm 51. Turn to Psalm 51 if you would please. And in Psalm 51, let's read down together verses 7 through 13. And this is what the words of Almighty God have to say. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors their ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Joy is not dependent on the circumstances. The Apostle Paul wrote the following words in Philippians chapter number 4 in verse 4. This is what Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Joy, my friends, is eternal and comes from the Lord. Happiness is external and results from happenings. Now, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 was penned by the Apostle Paul. He wasn't in some great church preaching when he said these words, nor was he leading a great revival in some town. No, he wasn't sharing a testimony with some other Christians at a reunion. And he, when he penned these words, was a prisoner. He was a prisoner serving time for preaching about Jesus, who had allowed him to be cast into prison. So you see, circumstances could not provide joy for Paul. Only Jesus could. Paul had lost most everything, but he still had Jesus, my friends. Circumstances did not give Paul his joy. And circumstances could not take his joy from him. You see, joy is manifested in the Spirit-filled believer because joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit. In the book of Galatians, chapter number 5, we have the fruit of the Spirit is listed. In Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23, we read in the words of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then we see number 2, joy. Joy. Then peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So we see that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And joy is manifested in the Spirit-filled believer. Notice what Paul wrote with me in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5. We see a command of the Lord here. In Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, the words of Almighty God say, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, my dear friends, when a Christian is Holy Spirit filled, the joy of the Lord is manifested in his life to others as well. The very first evidence of being filled, of being Spirit filled, is the characteristic of joy. Now, you can have a certain amount of happiness without the Holy Spirit's fullness, but you cannot have the joy of the Lord without it, amen? In fact, the words of God in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 tell us the joy of the Lord is where the Christian gets his strength, amen? Just because a Christian has a Spirit of God dwelling in him doesn't mean he will always be filled with joy. As our text indicates, as we go back to Psalm 51, we see that joy can be lost. Amen. Joy, our joy can be lost. Notice, in Psalm 51, verses 11 and 12, we read this. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. So obviously, there are things that can steal joy from our lives as believers. And in our lesson today, I wish to address that issue. Since joy is produced by the Holy Spirit in the life of the growing Christian, the only thing that can rob that joy from us is that which displeases the Holy Spirit. So first of all, amen, we see that sin and rebellion, number one, will steal your joy. Sin and rebellion will steal your joy. In Psalm 51, verse 12, again we see, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And of course, this is a Psalm of David. David, who God used to pen the majority of the book of Psalms, a man after God's own heart, is the same man now writing in Psalm 51 that he had lost his joy. Listen to his words in Psalm 51 here, in verses 1 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from sin. David had committed a terrible sin, and in so doing, he lost his joy. Not only had he committed the sin of adultery with Bathsheba, but he also caused an innocent man to die. That was the Uriah, amen, the husband of Bathsheba. He had him put into battle in such a place that he was assured to be killed. In Psalm 51, verse 14, the words of God say this, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Yes, his sin. He said, deliver me from blood guiltiness. He was guilty of the blood of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. There are many verses in the Bible which deal directly with a Christian's willful sin. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. In Hebrews chapter number 10, notice with me what the words of God have to say in verses 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. So we see that, number one, sin and rebellion will steal your joy. Number two, quenching the Holy Spirit will steal your joy. Quenching the Holy Spirit will steal your joy. Turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, I want us to turn to in chapter number 5. And look at what it says in verse 19. It says, quench not the Spirit. And the Spirit has a capital S, the Holy Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. A direct command from the words of God to quench not the Spirit. In that joy is produced by the Holy Spirit. When a Christian quenches the Holy Spirit, he will lose his joy. Now, to quench the Holy Spirit means to stifle him or hold him back from doing what he wants to do. People today may think they cannot stop the Holy Spirit from doing anything. But the Bible speaks otherwise, in that we are commanded not to quench him. Now, the very next verse speaks about preaching and how we should not despise it. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 20, despise not prophesyings. And that means despise not preaching. I believe the Spirit is quenched when we think little of the preaching of the Word of God. How many of you listening today, when you go to church, amen, and you're sitting there and thinking to yourself, how much longer will the preacher go on? How much longer do I have to listen to this? See, that attitude quenches the Holy Spirit. You know, we have forgotten today, amen, how our worship services, the preaching of the Word of God, is to be preeminent. But most churches today, their emphasis is on the music. And there's nothing wrong with music if it's good, godly music. And music is used to prepare our hearts, amen, to hear the preaching of the Word of God. But the Word of God is to be central, to have the preeminent, amen, in our worship service. It's preaching of the Word of God by a good godly preacher that gets the job done. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. People are born again By the word of God, by the preaching of the word of God. Amen. Christians are convicted of their sin and their need to get right with Almighty God through the preaching of the word of God. Christians are encouraged and built up and edified. How? By the preaching of the word of God. Oh my goodness, how the preaching of the word of God has to be preeminent in the worship service. Amen. But today, unfortunately, it's given maybe 10 or maybe 15 minutes out of that whole service. What a shame. If you're in a good Bible-believing church that stands on the good old King James Bible, and you have a good godly preacher that preaches the book, amen, be thankful to God that you're in that church and support that man of God. Amen. So I believe the spirit is quenched when we think little of the preaching of the word of God. How? Ask yourself, how important is preaching to you? Amen. It should be very important. It should be the main reason that you're here there in your worship service. To hear the preaching of the word of God. And when you have a negative attitude about the preaching of the word of God, that Holy Spirit is quenched. It's like you're pouring a bucket of water on them. Amen. Now let's look at the third thing. We see then, amen, we've seen so far that sin and rebellion will steal your joy. Quenching the Holy Spirit will steal your joy. Not only quenching the Holy Spirit will steal your joy, but number three, grieving the Holy Spirit will steal your joy. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians with me in chapter number 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30, again, a command of God, and it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." That Holy Spirit of God is your seal. You can't lose your salvation. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God once you get saved. And that seal cannot be broken. Amen. Once again, in that joy is produced by the Holy Spirit. When a Christian grieves the Holy Spirit, he will lose his joy. Amen. To grieve the Holy Spirit means to hurt him or cause him grief. People today may think they cannot grieve or hurt any member of the Trinity, but once again, the Bible speaks otherwise, and that we are commanded not to grieve him. Again, in this verse, it's connected with some specific sins. Those sins have to do with how we treat other Christians and get along with them. Because notice, in Ephesians chapter 4, in verses 31 and 32, that follow verse 30, where we're told, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." Verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." All of those things mentioned there, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. All of those things, if they're found in us as believers, will grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And then it goes on in verse 32. In 31, we have the negative things that grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now in verse 32, notice what it says. We go from negative to positive. This is the This is the behavior or the attitude that we should have towards other fellow believers, Christians. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another. Are you kind? Can people say, other believers say, is that your testimony that you're kind to other Christians? Then tender-hearted? Are you tender-hearted towards the brethren? Forgiving one another. Are you forgiving of other Christians when they've done you wrong and they ask for forgiveness? Are you quick to forgive? Or do you hold a grudge? Amen. That will grieve the Holy Spirit. So I believe if you're kind to your brother and sister in Christ, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, that puts a smile on the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it says, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Amen. Your attitude, well, I can't forgive that person. I mean, after all, look at what they did to me. But you have to remember what Christ did for you. He forgave you. He didn't need, he forgave you. And you didn't deserve to be forgiven. God showed you mercy. So when you get your back up, and you get that attitude, I can't forgive that person, just remember, forgive that person for Christ's sake, as he's forgiven you. Amen. So we see, when God's people do not get along with God's people, the Spirit of God is quenched. And from personal experience, I do not believe I've ever met a Christian who practiced these sins and who had joy of the Lord in his life. So we see number three, grieving the Holy Spirit will steal your joy. Now, in our lesson today, I've only mentioned three things in particular concerning a Christian losing his joy. Amen. We saw, first of all, did we not, that sin and rebellion will steal your joy, will cause you to lose your joy. Amen. Quenching the Holy Spirit will steal your joy. And we saw that grieving the Holy Spirit will steal your joy. Now, okay, so you've lost your joy. What do you do? If you've lost your joy, how can you get it back? Well, confess your sin. You see, for sin removes your joy. And we have God's promise in the first epistle of John, chapter 1, in verse number 9. Here's God's promise. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If, here's a condition, when you see that word F, there's a condition. If we confess our sins, that's the condition. First you have to confess your sins, and if you do, he, amen, the Lord, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and it doesn't end there, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have the condition, if you will confess your sins, that he's faithful. You can bet the farm on it, as they say. He's faithful, and he's not only faithful, he's just. He's righteous. He always does the right thing. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and not only that, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe there's something that you forgot to confess, and then you didn't mean intentionally not to confess it, but he'll forgive that too. The second thing that we need to do, amen, to get our joy back, is count your blessings. You know, a lot of people focus in on what I don't have. Focus on what you do have. Amen. And notice in Psalm number 68, tremendous verse. Psalm 68, in verse number 19, notice what the words of God say here. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord who daily, every day, loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Not only is he the God of our salvation, but he loadeth us daily with benefits. Amen. Selah. Amen. We don't even know really what the Lord does for us every day. A lot of things we're not even aware of. Amen. His protection of us when we go out on the road. Amen. I'm up here in Massachusetts in the Boston area, and people drive like idiots. And when I go out on the road, I pray for traveling mercies. And it's just amazing. We don't know how the Lord protects us, prevents us from being in some automobile accident or whatever it may be. And people have gone bananas today, and they're out of their minds, and they'd just as soon beat you over the head and rob you. How many times has the God protected you from that? He daily loadeth us with benefits. Not only did he save us, that would have been enough, but he daily loadeth us with benefits. Now, again, we're talking about, if you lost your joy, how do you get it back? Again, in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, amen, says, in everything, what's he say? In everything, give thanks. You get thanking God, your joy is going to come back. Amen. You think about how he daily loadeth you with benefits, and you're going to be praising and shouting and praising God. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So if you give thanks in everything, the good and the bad, you can certainly know that you're in the will of God, because that's the will of Christ for you. Amen. Consider trials. I know it's not what we think about, and it's against what our flesh would want to consider, but consider trials as a source of joy building. In the book of James chapter 1, the words of God say this: my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. As odd as this sounds, a person can have joy in trial if he will let the trial work in his life that which God is wanting to accomplish through the trial. When the Holy Spirit convicts you about something, you need to confess it right then and not wait. As they say, keep a short sin account. Unconfessed sin will steal your joy. Whatever it is that's keeping you away from God is the thing that is stealing your joy. With David, it was his unconfessed sin with Bathsheba. To get the joy back, by going back to the place you lost it or left it for something else. What you thought would bring you joy did not work. What you traded it for is long gone. You can get the joy back once again by clearing the air between you and God. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation was the cry of the repentant psalmist. My friends, as we conclude today, what is your cry today?